The Lord, we actually covered this in our Bible school Wednesday, and it was such a powerful concept that I wanted to develop it for the Sunday morning service and just see where God would take it, because I really believe it was a message for the church. And anytime God gives a message for the church, there's a message for individuals inside the church. That means that when the church is going someplace, you can say, you know, God, I'm going there too. Amen. Everybody say, hop on the bus. Amen. You don't want to get left behind. This is the story of, and we actually preached this some weeks back, but this is kind of a new message. Same story, new message. Of Peter healing the lame man. Now, you remember the story how on the day of Pentecost, our Lord Jesus has ascended to heaven. He left the mandate to the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. He told them in order to do that, you would have to reside and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. And they waited, and they were in one accord. They were 120 in the upper room, and the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them on the day of Pentecost. And they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in new tongues. And on that day, the New Testament church was birthed. And once the church was birthed, then they continued in fellowship. And it says at the end of chapter 2 that they were breaking bread from house to house, and that both the doctrine and the truth of God was being spread daily. And in some ways, I really feel like what happened in Pentecost and what happened to the disciples is what's happened in this particular church. It's a very interesting church, Praise Church, because many Christians, this is your second and third rodeos. Y'all have been in other churches. You've been saved. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've seen moves of God. You've seen revival. And yet God has led many into here. For some of you, this can be your first time around. And this is really just a wonderful and unique experience. But I think for all of us, it doesn't matter whether it's our first time or our third time or whatever. But I'm just glad that God is in the house. I'm glad that the angels dwell in this place and that the Holy Spirit is here. I really sense the presence of God as Andy and Kelly and Johan and the rest were leading us in worship today. There's just times when we just can feel, I feel something just running up my back, and I just say, praise God. You know, I didn't get that when I was on the freeway. Praise the Lord. I got that in the house of the Lord. But all of these, this gathering, God brings us, number one, into the house of the Lord to worship. But he brings us into the house because the house of God is a house of breakthrough. See, because God wants to take you and bring you beyond where you're at. He wants to bring you to the next level, as Brother Gustav talked about last week. And many times before you go into the next level, a lot of times there's sort of a teeting or a tipping that goes on when he's getting ready to move you on. And sometimes it's a place of vulnerability. But we spoke about how that it took faith to do that. At the end of the message last week, I also warned everyone that when you're in a place of teetering, you have to be ever so careful with what your words do, because your words are what will give life and they will give death. Amen? So God had brought the New Testament church. He birthed it on the day of Pentecost. He built it up and he empowered it with the Holy Spirit. And then we see them doing much like what we do today. They're going from house to house. They're breaking bread together, but they really don't have a direction. They're wondering, where are we going? Where are we going? And, you know, most churches today don't really know where they're going. They're just, they're fellowshipping in God. They're doing these things, but they're just kind of acting and saying, God, if you don't give us something to do, we'll go ahead and do something ourselves. But God always tells us to wait, and you will be endued with power on high. And I believe that this church has been waiting. And that that it wasn't just an individual people that are teetering, but the whole church is sort of rocking and it's getting ready to take off. I had lunch with Brother Gustav after the service last week, and he told me these words. He said, Pastor Sonny, he said, I heard from God. He says, Praise Church, what's going to happen for this church in 2011 is going to dwarf what happened in 2009, 2010. He said, I'm not just trying to encourage you. He said, I literally heard from God for this church. He says, so get ready, he said, because things are getting ready to really go. And then as I meditated on that and I looked in this scripture, I began to see that the New Testament church, that even after they were formed, they really didn't have a direction to go. But God decided that he was going to send that church on his direction and down his path. And in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John went up together. If you can put that up on the screen, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. They're just going about doing what they know to do. That's about at the ninth hour. That's about 3 p.m. This is what they do on a daily basis. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have," or the King James says, "have I not, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. And the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And now when the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them and the porch, which is called Solomon, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, and he took off preaching. Hallelujah. Let's put our Bibles on our laps and lift up our hands to the Lord, and let's just ask the Lord for revelation knowledge. God, we need fresh manna today. We need direction from heaven. Lord, we need an infusion of the Holy Spirit into this house. God, we need for religion and dead works to be cast aside, and we need for the anointing of God to break every yoke. God, we need for a new mind that comes from Jesus Christ and him alone. And God, we need new hearts, God. Our heart needs to be changed and softened, God, that we may believe in faith all the things that God has for us. Now, Lord, we just pray today, God, that you would gently, Lord, and quickly, Lord God, bring us to the place where you need us to be, Father, and we will be so grateful that we can be called your servants. Lord, bless every person during this holiday season. And again, Lord, cause us to operate in the revelation and the victory power of Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let's give him one more praise offering and just thank him. Let's thank him for his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, this in this story, it's really pretty cool because, as I was saying earlier, you know, the church's birth, just like we saw Praise Church birth in this place, and we've been just here for some years now, and in some ways the church is maturing, but in other things we have been saying, God, where do you want the church to go? And one thing that we've been teaching is if we'll keep our hands, if we'll keep giving everything away that we have, keep our hands open, God can put something in our hands. And in the same way it goes for you, if you'll keep your life uncluttered and keep without all types of agendas, God can place something in your hand that he wants you to do. Well, here's Peter and John. They're just walking and they're going into the temple. And suddenly they ran across a beggar man. And this beggar man was lame from birth, over 40 years from his mother's womb. And so he's sitting in the temple gate, it says, every day called Beautiful. Now, there's something to remark about this man here, and that's that he's been in the temple gate every day begging. That means that during the time of Jesus Christ, he was there begging as well. That means he would have seen Jesus when he came in and drove out the money changers. He would have seen Jesus when he was just a young boy, 12 years old, teaching. He would have seen the Pharisees rebuking him and fighting with him. He would have seen him when they tried him and persecuted him and finally drove him out with all the soldiers to be crucified. This man would have witnessed the entire life of Jesus Christ through his era. And now we find him, the same beggar, here at the time of Peter and John coming through. How many of you know that God has things set up for you in a place that you do not expect it? Now, the last thing that Peter and John expected was to walk across this lame man, and that this lame man, this very lame man, would be the one that would change and set the direction for the New Testament church. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we're looking for something magnificent from God. We're looking for the latest church gizmo and the latest scheme and the latest whoever's doing what, you know, who's who in the charismatic zoo and all these things. And sometimes God says, I don't want you to go the way of the world. I don't want you to go the way of this church or that church. I want you to go my way. And so he had this lame man who was just sitting there, and it was a setup from God. And all Peter and John, they just walked across and they looked at him, and he starts begging to them. You know, God puts opportunities in our path, and he puts sometimes unexpected opportunities that you're not looking for, but sometimes you have to get your head out of the high clouds, get your head out of the busyness, and if you'll look down and see the everyday people that God has put in front of you, that there is blessing there for you, and sometimes even the keys to your destiny that he'll put in your very path. And so he walked on up to this man. He says, look, the guy was begging. He says, silver and gold we have not. He says, but what I do have. How many of you know we don't have a lot of money? We don't have a lot of anything. But what we do have is the power of God. What we have is what God has put inside of us. And if we'll just take the hand of somebody in faith and just grab them on up, they'll come up. You know, folks, we've been called to bring people from one place into a higher place. And many times, you know, we don't even know what we got. You got more power of God in your little bitty finger, hallelujah, than most of the nuclear weapons and everything that the world has. God has put great power and resource into your ability. And it's not just about healing and doing miracles, but you can just go on and encourage somebody. You'll just take somebody's life and just say, I'm going to help this person along. I see something in you. You know, if you can go to a young person and say, I see something in you. I see that you can be something, because most young people don't have any idea of how they're going to make it in the world. Did you know that most of the young people today, they're just trying to, I mean, we're way down the road, and a lot of people just trying to figure out, how am I going to make a salary? How am I going to pay off my bills? We can just encourage one people, just reach out and give them a hand and just pull them up a little bit. And so Peter and John, they came in and they yanked this guy up, and hallelujah, you know what happened? Strength came into his ankles. Strength came into his bones. Hallelujah. And he got up and he began shouting and praising. You know, guys, I'm going to tell you, it don't hurt to try. Some of you, how many of you would walk up to somebody in a wheelchair and grab a hold of them and say, rise in the name of Jesus? You know, it takes a lot of faith to do something like that. A lot of people are afraid to do that because they're afraid if they did something like that, what if I fail? What if I embarrass myself? Let me tell you what happened. I was at a meeting with an African brother one day, and they had a Vietnam man that had gotten paralyzed through this Agent Orange and other accidents, and he couldn't even get out of a wheelchair. He was about a 250, 300-pound mess, and he couldn't even move his bones. And the evangelist told us, said, get that man up. Get him up right now. Get him up. We're going to make him run. And it took about 6 men, and we were holding this guy up. Man, he was just like Jell-O. Couldn't get his thing down. And finally, all of a sudden, his feet started moving. It connected the ground. And he started, and for the first time, I guess it was 10, 15 years, his feet hit the ground. He started moving about 3 or 4 steps and stumbled. And, you know, and everybody just was amazed. And I was amazed because I felt the power of God jolt through him. And he never did regain his full strength and was able to walk. But you know something he told me after the meeting? And I said, was that humiliating for you? He says, no, that's the first time I had hope in over 20 years that God even cared about me. You know, a lot of times we think we have to see results in order for us to do something, so we don't do anything because we're afraid we won't see any results. And it's not about results. It's about doing what God tells you to do. And so Peter and John, they just reached out and they just did what they knew to do. They grabbed the man and yanked him up, and up he comes on his feet, and the history and the direction of the New Testament church now changed. Now, because they did that, God was moving that church directly into the path of persecution. Now, you know, a lot of people, that's not popular because we think the way of God should be just the way of prosperity, way of financial blessings, and the way of just nothing goes wrong, and that's the kingdom of God. Can I tell you that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force? And if you are born again and are serving God, you are going to face enemies. You are going to face devils in your life. And if you say, well, I faced some in the past, I've had enough of that, you're in the wrong business, because it won't stop until you meet Jesus Christ, because Satan is fighting for the souls and for the kingdoms of this world. But how many of you know they belong to Jesus Christ already? He cannot win, because greater is he that is in us than him that's in the world. Now, you know, here we see Peter and John, and they grab this guy, and he gets up, and what's so amazing is that Peter, as soon as this happens, he is positioning, or God is positioning him to stand before the very crowd that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. The very Sanhedrin that ruled him guilty of blasphemy was now sitting before Peter and John. And remember what happened to Peter the first time? He took off and ran, denied Jesus three times. Now this same Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, on the team called church, is now standing before this man and preaching, and he responded to the people. And look at the sermon he gave in verse 12. He says, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this or look so intently at us as though by our own power we made this man to walk?" You know, brethren, the first mark of a true man or woman of God is they never take any credit for themselves. You know, if you're in the ministry or you're in the church just trying to do something so you can get a name or you can get known, you know, it's wrong. It's not the right direction. God looks for the humble. He looks for the meek, for people that he can trust that will not take his glory, but that will always give his glory to God. He says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up." Now, notice something we studied in our Bible school is that Peter, and always when he gave his first sermon and the second sermon, he always started at a point of familiarity, that he was speaking to his crowd. He related to the crowd he was preaching to. He never just took off pie in the sky. He always talked to them. "You Jews, your God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he glorified Jesus." But notice he turns down and points the finger. He says, "whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate," which was his determined to let him go. "But you denied the Holy One," verse 14, "and you asked for a murder to be granted to you." How many of you know what the name of that murderer's name was? Barabbas. "And he killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in the name, has made this man strong, who comes, who you now see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence. I know that you did it in ignorance." You know, one thing that happens here, brethren, I want you to see this point before we move on, is that in the Old Testament, there were two types of sin. The first type of sin was the sins of ignorance. That means when you did something, you didn't really know what was going on, and that was usually sins were forgiven by animal sacrifice. The second type of sin was the sins that you did deliberately and you did in rebellion. There was no forgiveness for those sins. There was no pardon for those sins. In the Old Testament, you were damned. You were basically sentenced to eternity and judgment. But here we see Peter basically putting that same Old Testament finger at them, and he says, "You are the ones that crucified Jesus. You did this willingly. You did this in intent to kill God." Now, you know, right there, he could have finished the sermon. He could have basically, remember what Jesus said? He said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth will also be bound in heaven." He could have went ahead and just sealed all those Sadducees, the Sanhedrin up, and the Pharisees, say, "You guys are just damned to hell. It's over." But he says, you know what? He says, the New Testament. Let me step out of the Old Testament into the New Testament. He says, "But you did it in ignorance." He says, "And basically what you did deliberately, I'm now pronouncing that you did it in ignorance, because you don't know really who Jesus is. And if you'll turn and ask God for forgiveness, he will give you forgiveness of sins if you will just repent of your sins." Everybody say, "Repent of your sins, and you'll be forgiven." There is not one sin that God cannot forgive in your life. There's not one area that you've gone too far with the Lord can't say, "I will pardon you of your sin." Even in your rebellion, even in the deepest, darkest sin in your life, God can still turn and still forgive you for that. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you're forgiven in the name of Jesus." Amen. So Peter said, "Whatever you bound on earth is also bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is also loosed in heaven." Peter says, "I loose you religious people of this, and now it's loosed in heaven. If you'll just repent, you have forgiveness of sins." Now, that's a heavy thought. I want to take that out one more step. Because, you know, folks, a lot of people try to say that the Jewish nation is guilty of killing Jesus Christ. And they've even gone so far to say that the New Testament church now replaces the nation of Israel. That's called replacement theology. And it's wrong. Because you know what? God never rebukes or goes back on a promise. He promised that Israel was his people. And even though that they are so bad that he had to divorce them one time, he never gives up on them. And he always brings them back. He says, I always cause, because Israel is the apple of his eye. You see, and he'll never go back on that. So it wasn't, Peter wasn't speaking to the nation of Israel, though he was speaking to the very people that crucified Jesus Christ, that sentenced him to death. He says, you are the ones that did it. He didn't tell all of Israel you did that. He says, you did it. And a lot of Christendom has tried to say that the Jews, but let me tell you what, brethren, anybody that does not repent of their sins, anybody that goes against Jesus Christ, we are the ones that crucify him. You see, and when you see that, this is the crowd that crucified Jesus. Not the Jews, but all those that will continue in unbelief. Those are the one that crucified Jesus. Then we can rightfully say, hallelujah, that our God reigns, that we can forgive, we can repent, and we can turn away. And then we can look at Israel as a redeemable nation. How many of you know God loves the Jews? And the Bible says that if we'll bless the nation of Israel, then God blesses those that bless him. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? Everybody still cool? Okay, good. Well, I'm getting warm. I'm not going to turn the temp up on y'all. Now, there's another point I want to bring out here. Let's just keep going down the scriptures. He says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, verse 17, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins would be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, you cannot receive and sense God's presence and refreshing until you get rid of sin in your life. You cannot continue in sin. You can't continue with your pet sin. I love the example that one evangelist gave, the illustration of a sin. It's like a pet dog, a lap dog. He says you keep petting it, and you expect it just to go away. The only thing you can do with that pet sin is to shoot it. Amen. You need to just go ahead and execute whatever that thing is that you're holding. And don't hold on to any pet sin, because it will keep you. You will not have victory in Jesus' name. He says that he may send Jesus who has preached to you, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Now, so here, let me just back away from this for a second, and let me regather my thought on the idea of where we're going as a church. So here, Peter and John have now reached out to this guy. God set him up. Number one thing that did it is it got the disciples out of the mode of church growth. Number two, it brought them in direct conflict with the very people that crucified Jesus, which is the path of persecution. And I want to tell you, folks, that God designed the church to be a war machine. He did not design the church to be some little love boat where we just get together and we do it good here. I love hugging. I love just everything that we do. But, you know, when we're not in church hugging, let's face it, we got to be out on those streets, and we got to face those old mean bosses. We got to face that old wicked school system. We got to face the political system that's trying to sink this country. You know, we got to be armed with the Word of God up here and in here. We've got to face these things. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of darkness of this world. These are the things you got to fight every day. Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. And that God's given us the keys. So he set this church up to be a war machine, to be not only a war machine, to be an example of what his people are. God has set us up to be champions and victors, to set us before the gates of hell and say, see if you can knock this thing down. And I'm telling you what, the devil will not prevail. And God doesn't, you know, we're not running from the devil. We're not trying to do everything to stay out of his way. God says, I'm going to put you right in his path, and I'm going to empower you so you can knock down his kingdom so that you can take the spoils of war. And I want you to see that. I'm not just saying this is what I think we ought to be doing. I'm telling you that we need to make ourselves available and open for God so that when we're walking through here and God brings somebody up along your path, it may be somebody you don't even expect, so somebody that's not even a part of the church, and you're walking down the street in a Walmart, in a Winn-Dixie, down on the street when you guys are handing out food. It may be somebody you don't even expect. You're going out to hand out hamburgers, and suddenly God just gives you that somebody, and you touch them, and it opens up the church to 1,000 new souls because you reached out and healed and prayed for somebody that you didn't even expect. So number one, it brought them into the face of adversity. Number two, it helped them to not only justify the Lord Jesus Christ, but to basically shout the victory over the very people that crucified him. You know, God don't let unbelievers off the hook. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. Here these dudes are. They think they crucified Jesus Christ. We got rid of him. He's dead. We buried him. Yeah, they said he resurrected. And I says, oh, that's okay. But you know what? Now all of a sudden, here comes these fishermen. And we were in our Bible school. We determined just through some discussion that we had, these guys probably wasn't even over 20 years old. You know, we think you got to be old, big, and wise to be a preacher. But let me tell you what, young people, God can use you right where you're at. He can use 16, he can use 12-year-olds, he can use 16, use 18-year-olds, he can use any age he wants. And he put these young men right up against those Pharisees, and they could not even withstand the wisdom and the boldness of those Pharisees. And it says that those Pharisees even perceived that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been with Jesus. Woo! Man, when you're with Jesus, you can withstand everything. Hallelujah. Now look down in chapter number 4. The next thing that happens, they spoke to the people. The priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now remember, what do y'all remember about the Sadducees? They did not believe. There he goes. There goes my Bible school. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And it says that they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already even. How many? Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. I'm talking church growth God's way. Come on, they didn't need to go to a seminar. Didn't need to go to a conference. They didn't need to start this ministry or that ministry. All they needed to do is walk on the street and grab a lame man's hand and pull him up, get put in jail by the Pharisees. I'm telling you, the Pharisees and Sadducees put him in jail. Meanwhile, the church grows from 3,000 to 5,000 people. Hallelujah. And it came to pass the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, these are the very guys that were on the council that put Jesus down. John and Alexander, as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together of Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Can you imagine? That's like putting a kid in a candy store, asking a preacher, by what power did you do this? I mean, how stupid can you be? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And then he basically starts relating them. He doesn't insult them. He says that, hey, he says, this was a good deed that was done to a helpless man. Let it be known to you. He said, that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. You crucified him. God raised him anyway. And this man stands before you whole because of this man that you crucified. He says, and this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Praise God. Can I tell, guys, you wonderful people of God, you freak people out all the time. When people look at you and they listen to you talk, it freaks them out because they are expecting to talk with somebody according to worldly wisdom, and you just blurt out this wonderful scripture and they just go, what was that? They're amazed because they don't understand the wisdom of God. You know, the wisdom from God is from above, and the wisdom of this world is down here below. And I just want to tell you this, folks, that the devil, he don't have a clue what God's going to do with you, because he doesn't understand heavenly wisdom. So when you come, and I'm going to go where Brother Paul had prophesied, and this is where the message is going, that there is alignment and there is access when you're aligned. See, and Peter and John were aligned with the Holy Spirit. They were aligned with God. So when they were walking, they walked right into a booby trap set up by the Holy Ghost. How many of you are ready to get booby trapped by God? You know, you're asking, oh, God, I don't know what to do with my life. Lord, I don't know where to go. Remember, Brother Gustav? Your tipping point is here. Hallelujah. You're going to walk right on it. Boom, God's going to set you up. You're going to do something, say something, be in the right place. And all of a sudden, your whole life is going to change in one instant. But it's not going to be the way that you think it is. It might be a promotion. It might be a demotion. I was listening to a preacher on the radio the other day. He was busy preaching. God called him into the ministry, and he had this wonderful job. And all of a sudden, he said, God, how am I going to minister to you and be a full-time minister when I'm doing this job? The next day, they laid him off. You got to be ready for whatever God wants to do in your life, because sometimes God makes positional changes in your life that doesn't always match up with what you think ought to be done. But when you align yourself, number one, we said keep your hands empty. As Brother Gustav said, a couple of the keys last week, just reiterating, make yourself mighty in prayer. Make yourself mighty in worship. Make yourself mighty in the Word. When you do those things, you position yourself. Turn loose of distraction and a lot of clutter in your life. And I'm telling you, God's going to have you. And the person that you walk past every day you're walking past something that might be the very thing that's the solution to your problem. Can I have an amen? And then all of a sudden, God will give you the eyes to open up and see that's what you need to do. And then you do it, and everything changes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me get my musicians up. We're going to go ahead and begin just to kind of finish this up. I just want to give you something just to think about here, just something to go and meditate on. He keeps on preaching. He says, nor is there salvation. Everybody say, no salvation. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. And verse 14, now seeing the man whom they had healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You know, folks, when I was preaching to those Hindus and that old bull came running down and I pointed to him in the name of Jesus. Now, Mary didn't mention one thing that happened. But one thing that happened is when, right in the middle of that, I stopped. And before I told that bull to lay it down, I asked the Hindus, I said, do you believe that God can do miracles? And they were jeering at me. And they went, nah. And the next thing I did, I said, now, God stop the rain so that we can come here. They said, nah, you're making that up. I said, God's going to make that bull lay down right now. And they all went, huh? And that's when I said, in the name of Jesus. And I said, I can't believe I'm doing this, Lord. I said, help me here, Lord. Don't let me die. She didn't hear me say that part under my breath while I told that. You know, a lot of times you don't know what preachers are thinking in their mind when they're preaching, you know. And, you know, we're like full of faith and fire and vigor, you know. Full of it. And so I'm going, God, I don't want to die. And that bull fell. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I owe you one, Lord. And, oh, by the way, thank you. Those bulls are what they worship. That's one of their gods. And so God didn't do that for me. He did that for his name. Hallelujah. God wanted to show those Hindus that he could even make bulls bow, make other gods bow. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My Lord. I tell you, the presence of the Lord is so good. How many of you are ready for God to do something in your life this morning? How many of you are ready for the supernatural? How many of you are tired of the same old, same old? You say, God, I'm just ready. I'm ready for a fresh miracle and a fresh move. So those old Pharisees and Sadducees, they told them, they said, listen, we'll make a deal with you, Peter and John. You quit talking about this Jesus. You quit preaching all this raised from the dead stuff, and we'll let you and your little church go ahead and Y'all got a good little move. We'll just let you kind of go on in your corner, and we'll just kind of leave you alone. Look in verse 19 what Peter told him. He says, Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since all glorified God for what had been done. You know, I personally got to know one of the missionaries we support. He had gotten arrested in China for preaching Jesus. And they pulled him right on into jail, locked him up for the night, and they interrogated him the whole night long. He said, why do you preach this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? By what authority do you do these things? Same as this. And you know, by the end of the third day of interrogating and this man answering questions, that jail cell attendant got saved. And he let him go. It's a dangerous thing to interrogate Christians. Amen? And that brother and the new saved jail cell attendant went out, and the entire province got saved in that area because the gate was open. Now, folks, I want to tell you, there's three types of people, just finishing up here. We have Peter and John. Amen. We got the lame man. And we got the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's three groups of people here, and it really dictates a lot of the people that in the scenarios of your life. You got the Peter and John. You got the church that's in position, just waiting. You got the man that needs help, the lame man. And you always got an enemy of God. Most of the time, it's a religious crowd. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Which category do you fall in today? Oh, well, I'm Peter and John, of course. Well, yeah. But you know, sometimes we get injured and we get on that roadside and we need somebody to give us a helping hand up. I think this Christmas season is the best time in the world that God, you would open up our eyes to see the need that's before us. Hallelujah. I went out with Randy and Jerry Thursday night. We went out to the halfway house. They had about 15, 20 guys in there. Most of them had been in jail. And they had this young, precious black man, big fella. He was just crying and says, I want the power of God. I want to see the light of God. I've never experienced it. And all these other guys, all of them had just come out of jail. They're all sitting around the table. Randy, tell you about that. And I looked at that. I said, how does Popeye says it? I can't stand it no more. And so I ate my spinach. And I said, stop the meeting right now. I just walked in. I was only 10 minutes late, Mr. Tuno, I promise. And I walked right in. I said, we got to stop this meeting right now. I said, God wants every one of you to get the Holy Spirit. And I said, I want all of you men right now just to lift up your hand right now. We went around and started laying hands on each one, and the presence and the power of God just filled every one of those young men. And, you know, just to show you how desperate they were, the one young black boy, he says, sir, he said, I saw my daddy take a gun and put it to my mama's head and pull the trigger. He said, then he handed me the gun for a second. He said, when I get through, it's your turn. And he took and put the gun to his head and shot himself. And this is the very man that was saying, I've got to see God. How many of you know that there's a need out there in the world today? And that Jesus is the only hope. He's the only solution to those that are out there. And guys, I tell you what, I know most everybody in that. We've got a church full of ministry type people. And there is not one of you that do not possess the ability and the boldness and the faith to touch a life. Amen? And so again, if I could just bring this, just kind of bring this message to a close and just bring it. God is aligning you. I want to come back to what Brother Paul said. There's an alignment going on here right now in the Spirit. And what Brother Gustav said, there's a tipping. Amen. And with this kind of this point of just that God's getting ready to sort of tip your life a little bit, that's because he wants to redirect you. How many of you are ready for a direction change? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a direction change every day. If you say, I don't want change in my life, then God will just pass you by. Amen. But if you will say, God, I feel that I feel that little bit of off balance feeling, then, you know, it's good, because now God can kind of push you the way he wants you to go. He's got a way. He's got a place. Praise the Lord. Do you know that whenever people go whitewater rafting, the most important part of taking the rapids is not going down the rapids, but it's aligning the canoe or the kayak or the raft to put it right where it needs to go so that it goes through the rapids without getting tipped or hitting a hole or a rock or something. So every time you'll watch the guys, they bring that raft, and it's positioning, alignment. And once you get into that alignment place and you hit those rapids, you know what they yell? Paddle! So right now, and that's where Mr. Juno comes in. So you wait. We're waiting right now, and God right now is taking the church, and he's bringing us into a place. And I'm telling you, folks, there is a place coming for this church. God just didn't bring all of you into this house and set you into this place just so that we could have great worship and have good preaching of the word. There is a purpose for this church. And do you know what happened to the New Testament church throughout the rest of the book of Acts? The entire book is a document of persecutions after persecutions after persecutions. How many of you know who one of the greatest persecutors of the church was? Paul. And what happened after Paul got converted? The rest of the book is about how that the church persecuted Paul and how that Paul won the nations even through persecutions. The Bible says that the godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Now, I'm not advocating persecution, you know, that we're not persecution hounds. You know, we're not going looking for it. How many of you know if you follow God, persecution is going to find you? I just want to get you ready for this idea, because in the Old Testament, they taught that if something happened wrong to you, it's because you were a sinner. But in the New Testament, we learn that if you're serving God, you're going to find trouble. So if we truly are a New Testament church, we need to not only be ready for positioning, we must be ready for confrontation. Praise the Lord. Why did that make you want to shout, oh, hallelujah, my name's going to get smeared, praise God, they're going to spit at me and curse me out. Oh, glory. Yeah. No, that's not usually what you do when persecution hits you. You know, you're usually just going, God, could you please make this go away? Because it's usually the people that are real close to you or somebody that can affect something in your life. But remember, God never puts you in a tight spot unless he'll see you through. Go ahead and nudge your neighbor. Say, neighbor, he'll see you through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hands to him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you today for the word. Thank you, Jesus, that it all started over 2,000 years ago, Lord, when you decided to run a rescue mission here on planet Earth, Lord. Lord, we were bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. Father, we were without hope. We were without direction. We were in total darkness. We were like the land of Naphtali and Nebulon, Lord God. We were a people, Lord God, in a dark place looking for a light. And that Jesus, you came here to Earth. Lord, and you are not a stranger to persecution, Lord. You yourself was born in a mangy, dungy little cave that is called a manger. But Lord, by no means a manger. Lord, it was like a little hole in the earth. And God, you took the lowest place in order that we may come to the higher place. And we want to thank you today, Lord, and honor you during this Christmas season, Lord. That Jesus, you came to earth 2,000 years ago, Lord God, to lift us up out of the miry clay and to give us hope and to give us direction in our life. And Lord, now you have commissioned us, Lord God, to be your ambassadors to be those that would speak for you, to be those that would act for you, those that would rescue in your behalf. And Lord, even as Peter says that, Lord, it's by no other name but the name of Jesus by men may be saved. That, Lord, we bear your name this season in a special way. And it's an honor to go around and to say that we come in the name of Jesus. Whatever the case may be, Lord, we're honored to speak your name and to proclaim your name. That every knee shall bow. Say it with me. And every tongue will confess that you are Lord. That's right, Lord. Every tongue of commerce, every tongue of cults, every tongue of Islam, every tongue of Hindus, Lord, that around the world right now, Father, people are saying, what is the reason for this season? And that, God, your name is proclaimed. Thank you. Now, God, I'm asking that there would be, Father, just a positioning of every person here. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you have a purpose. Would you pray this with me? Say, Jesus, I surrender all to you. Here is my life. Here is my family. Here is all that I own. I surrender to you and ask you, Lord, to guide me and position me in the place that you would have me to be. I ask for divine appointments of your choosing, not my choosing. And I thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is established in my life and in every life here. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? I want to ask before we dismiss today, is there anybody here you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Say, Pastor, I'd like to give my life to Jesus today. I would like to surrender. I'd like to surrender my life to God. Anybody here? You don't know God. And you say, God, Pastor, I'm ready to give it all to Jesus today. We'll stop just for one person, even if it be one. I remember there was a tent meeting of less than 40 people. One young man raised his hand, gave his life to Jesus Christ in a very unlikely meeting. It was Billy Graham, and forever changed millions of lives. Is there one person today you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You want to do it today. What a great day to do it on the day, the season of Christmas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Miss Karen St. Pierre, the Lord's got a word for you, darling. And the Lord tells me to tell you that the best is yet to come. There is a powerful move of God coming on your life. And you say, Lord, can't be me. But the Lord says, I have a special work for you to do. And the Lord says that he's taking that, your feisty person, and that the Lord's taking that feistiness, and he's going to use it that you can be a champion for souls. And don't you know, Peter was an old cussing, salty fisher dog, and God used him to be one of the greatest apostles and evangelists that history's ever known. And Karen, I'm telling you, God's going to use you to save souls. He showed me that you have the ability. He's not finished with you yet. You're still a work in progress. Can you say amen? But God wants to use you. And amen. And you know, I'm telling you, together you guys make a great couple, but there's coming a day when Leonard's going to look at you and say, wow, how did you do that? And it's coming. Praise God. Amen. This couple right here, it's fun to prophesy with people you don't even know. I don't have a clue what you guys are doing, but the Lord just wants me to tell you that there is a season coming up for you that is going to be another level, that this thing that Gustav was preaching, you're already in it. You've been tilted, and you've let God tilt you, and God's moving you on to the to the next level, and that I really see that you guys are going to be used as a, I see you guys as a stabilizer in the house of the Lord. Just like these boats have these automatic, when the boat starts tilting and there's a little bit of water washing up to the boat and that boat starts to tilt, these stabilizers are automatically make an adjustment for the boat. God shows me that he's used y'all to do that in the past, and he's going to continue to use you, that you're to bring stabilization to the body of Christ. And so don't feel that your season is over. Don't feel that things are transitions always not an easy time, but I believe that God is going to greatly use you guys in this area. Also, the Lord shows me that there's a prophetic calling on your life, that there is a prophetic gifting in your life, and God says don't turn that off. There's sort of a time and a place that's coming for that as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just say, young man over there, praise God. You know, God has a great work for you, my young friend, and I really see that God's going to use you as a Barnabas. And that you're greatly an encourager, and God's going to use you to encourage not only people that you've met, but this is an actual gift that needs to be developed in you, and God's going to show you how to do it. But I see you encouraging many, many, many people, and God's going to use you in that encouragement gift. Matter of fact, I see you looking at a door right now, and you're saying, God, should I go into this door or not? And the Lord's saying that's a good door. You can go into that door because God's got something for you in that arena to do a good work for him. But be steady, be faithful. Don't let the devil chase you away, because there's some great, great work for you. Do you guys know him? Is he okay? He's a good guy? Okay. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Okay. Praise the Lord. Liz. Yeah, please.
Brian, you are a gift to the Father. Yeah, amen. You are a gift to the Father. You haven't seen yourself that way. Right? Huh? You are a gift to the Father. And Jesus died on the cross, and you are his prize. You were the joy that was set before him. And the Lord wants you to know that you are a gift to the Father. The same way he has gifted you with these precious little ones. Come on. You know how your heart yearns for them, how it breaks for them, how much you love your children. You have to see yourself that way, that you're a child of God and you're a gift of the Father. And he has pulled and taken off every lie off of you in the name of Jesus. He's breaking the yoke of shame and of judgment and of man, and he's casting it far from you. Say, I'm a gift to the Father.
I'm a gift to the Father.
Love you, Brian. You too, Fran.
You know, one thing I did not share with you, and I like to share this. When we were up at the White Horse Church, Brother Jeff came down here, and we were up there. He prophesied two times. He says, you know, son, he says, Liz is going to help you in this church, and that she needs to get out of the background. And, you know, Liz has been walking. Most people don't know this, but Liz is an ordained minister for the last 20-something years, been a youth pastor in another church, and she's been just kind of walking in the shadows here, just working and raising her little girl. But you know, I just want to tell you, you're gonna see some things come out. You know, we honor Liz. I have to kind of step out of the, because I'm her blood brother. I have to step out of that thing and put on the coat of pastor and just say that God's gonna use her. And I know something about Liz, Brian, if you didn't catch, but she used to raise horses. If you notice, she'll make you go the way you want to go, even if you don't want to go. She knows how to break tough horses, and Liz is a blessing. I love her. She's just a great, great sister, both blood and in the spirit. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You know, this is one of those meetings where we could go on and on. I really feel like there's just a lot more that the Lord wants to do. And I just want to encourage you folks, stay in the presence of the Lord. You know, the Lord is not wanting shallow-rooted Christianity. He wants us to go deeper. Can we lift our hands one more time? Stand to your feet, lift your hands up one more time to Him. And praise the Lord. Father, we just ask the Holy Spirit as we are dismissed from this place. Holy Spirit, fill every life. Transform us. Say this with me. Say, transform us, Jesus, into your image. In the name of Jesus, fill me, Holy Spirit. Touch me, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Brother Andy, would you lead us in a Christmas carol? Hallelujah. Let's sing it together.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. The song that their Savior's word.